We've gone from previous World Cups to the current World Cup. Well, we're going to speak with Michael Carayannis, the number one rugby league writer.
Just insert from, number one.
From the Daily Telegraph. Before we do that, if you'd like to be a part of the quiz, score update.
24-20s.
You need to call now on 1353 53. Call now on 1353 53 if you would like to be part of the quiz. You're unbelievable how competitive it's getting now. We won't look at the questions until the names come up and we see who we might get. Matt from Wagga, call now. Call now. 1353 53. Michael Carayannis is covering this year's Rugby League World Cup. And Michael, we just spoke to Andrew Marmont, who wrote the book, Their Finest Hour. But what a tournament to be involved in. Mm. Absolutely outstanding games of rugby league yesterday and a quality performance from Australia on Friday night. Good morning, mate.
Morning, yeah. Andrew's going to have to add a few more touches
yesterday. Definitely, definitely. Let's go to the Aussies Friday night. I thought clearly their best performance. I know Samoa's been disappointing, but clearly Australia's best performance of the tournament. How did you see it?
Yeah, spot on, Jimmy. It's we've spoken a lot about their attack. All sort of click on Friday night, and it happened in probably the toughest conditions they've played in as well. So that's got to be a good sign. Cooper Cronk, Billy Slater were outstanding. Michael Morgan's running game was very dangerous, and Valentine Holmes 5 tries in the finish in the corner. So it was a complete performance by the Kangaroos, who've only leaked 10 points in 4 games. It's remarkable.
Yeah, defence has been outstanding. A couple of things, I guess, of concern out of that, primarily injuries. Firstly, Michael, but secondly, the heat and the toll it took on the players. I was listening to an interview with Michael Morgan yesterday, and he said he hadn't felt as fatigued and as spent in a long, long time. How is the team going to recover in time for next weekend?
Yeah, they've had a lot of precautions this week. Right, they sort of told the players to try and minimise their time outdoors, and they had these little dip pools and all these hydration and Powerade slushies and all this sort of stuff. So they went to extreme lengths to try and keep the players' core body temperature down. And they were sort of lucky because on Friday night, it was probably the coolest day of the week that we had up in Darwin. And obviously the game probably wasn't as intense either. So it is a concern with the shortest... they travelled to Brisbane yesterday as well, so it's a concern for them, but they're on top of it, and no injuries either, so they've come through unscathed.
Well, they get the extra day compared to Fiji, so that's something to consider for that semi-final in Brisbane on Friday. Let's go to yesterday's games. In many ways, it was a story about the losing coaches. David Kidwell, I'd imagine, is under immense pressure. I wouldn't be surprised if he's removed shortly. And Brad Fittler, as the losing coach of Lebanon, is pretty much going to be confirming himself as a coach of New South Wales, I reckon, Michael.
It's remarkable that both bow out in the quarterfinals, but two totally different narratives following it. Obviously, the Kiwis are a mess. The last 2 years have been horrible. They in the Four Nations last year, they should have lost to Scotland. They beat England by a point. I think it was Wayne Bennett's first game as coach, and England in that tournament last year, and New Zealand were horrible. Even though they made the final of the Four Nations last year, they just never challenged Australia, and they just haven't even looked like a team that's anywhere near world class at the moment. They're obviously their depth. It's probably a weaker side that we've seen the Kiwis produce, but it's no excuse. They were horrible. They've been horrible this tournament. They're in. It's a reflection of, I guess, where the Warriors are at as well. There's something systematically wrong with their systems in New Zealand at the moment at club level and international level, and they're just so far off the pace, it's not funny. And Brad Fittler, what a remarkable performance. I thought Tonga were vulnerable, were going to be vulnerable heading into this game. I actually thought if they played a PNG or someone like that where you knew they were going to be hard nuts and really tough, and they would have got beaten. But Lebanon surprised me. I didn't think Lebanon had it in them. After the injury toll they've had and how battered and how inexperienced they are. But what a performance to push this Tongan side all the way to the 80th minute was remarkable. And it's credit to where Brad Fittler, it shows what Brad Fittler can do in a camp situation.
Yeah, Tonga and Fiji are through. Who gets through this afternoon, Michael? England or Papua New Guinea?
If you asked me yesterday, you would have said England easily. Yeah. But
I don't know England. Now, do you? It's just sort of throwing things
great,
up in the air.
Great, yeah, England. England, PNG will test them. PNG's probably the most, outside Tonga, they're probably the better of the sides. Yep. But I think England will have too much class for PNG today.
Do we think this win of Fiji? I know they've been to the semi-finals before. In fact, they've been to the semi-finals in the last
three World Cups,
including this one. Does it improve their chances of them being involved in a New South Wales Cup and getting that pathway for juniors in Fiji? Because obviously rugby union's a big presence over there in New Zealand as well, in Fiji as well. So this might help league compete at that level.
Yeah, well, I was in Suva and I spoke to you guys, and the players were recognised in the streets, and there was a buzz about town when the Kangaroos played that warm-up game in Fiji. So it's definitely well-known. League's definitely well-known. It's a poor cousin to the Sevens, probably more so than the 15-a-side game. It's the Sevens over there that really captivates the Fijians. But that we've seen what the PNG Hunters has done for PNG. And there's no doubt that they're a better side than they were 4 years ago, and the systems they have in place has made the PNG national side very formidable, and I hope that that's what's going to happen with Fiji. And they've obviously made semi-finals before, but it's the path they've taken to overcome, which will hopefully put rugby league on the map over there again.
Well, Michael, on a similar theme, is the sport big enough in Tonga and Samoa to do something similar?
Well, yeah, I think they're development wise.
I reckon we've just lost Michael there. Just sound like he dropped out.
I think development-wise, they're a bit further back than PNG and then Fiji. I think PNG and Fiji are more developed in terms of where they're headed. The Samoans have had a terrible tournament. They were
disinterested, weren't they, Michael? Seriously, on Friday?
Yeah, they were very disappointed amongst New Zealand and some of the sides from the Scottish sides and some of the sides are probably the most disappointing sides of the tournament, Samoa. So they've got a fair bit of catching up to do if they're to get to that level. But in 4 years' time, if they could be where Fiji are at now, I think that's a core sign. And if Fiji can be where PNG are at now, I think that's great. Which means PNG could be where the Warriors are potentially, sort of thing. So that's where we're headed, and it's great. We're definitely have got the ball rolling for the first time that I can remember watching international rugby league. We actually see some light at the end of the tunnel, and we're going to see some emerging nations become T1 nations in the next 4 years for sure.
I think we've certainly got enough games now for content on a representative weekend, which can help shape the schedule of the National Rugby League, which I think is going to be an improvement for everyone associated with that. All right, any changes do you anticipate for the Australian side, or is that the 17 that Mal's going to continue with for the remainder of the tournament?
Yeah, I can't see many changes. He floated the idea of some changes to the bench, and with Fiji, they might look for a bit more versatility on the bench because they're going to play that
Munster on the bench, maybe Michael.
Yeah, so that's the only option. If I play New Zealand, I would have said 100% they would have been the same 17, but we might see Munster or someone like that come onto the interchange bench. But I don't know who you drop that forward rotation. Mal's gone with four forwards, four prop rotation, which he hasn't done before. We've seen Woods and Clemmer being replaced by Regan Campbell-Gillard and Jordan McLean, and the momentum those four guys are doing and the job they're doing in the middle has been outstanding. And Wade Graham gives that versatility and allows their edge, the Matt Gillard and Boyd Corners, to get a rest where they don't usually. And Frizzell plays middle and an edge so effectively. So I just don't see where that change is going to come from. So I think it will be the same 17.
I reckon if anyone's vulnerable, it's Wade Graham.
They like him, though. They like what he can offer, and he gives them that ability to play four forwards on the bench.
Yeah.
But against Fiji, they may look at a bit more speed off the bench, where Munster comes into play there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's fascinating anyway, and it's great to follow. Michael, I really appreciate your time this morning. Enjoying reading your articles during the course of the week as well, and we'll look forward to catching up next week.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Michael Carianis there, the number one rugby league writer for the Daily and Sunday Telegraph. England v PNG. $1.13 England, $6 the Kummels, and the line is 16.5.
Any chance of an upset, James?
Not an upset, but I'd like them at the line.